Well, amen. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter number 13. We're kind of preaching on the same theme that we started this morning, as our theme for this year is redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. And we looked at our scripture reference this morning out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Where it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That is, making the most of our opportunities that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to preach a message that's along the same lines out of Romans 13, and start reading in verse number 11. Romans 13 and verse 11 says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I want to preach to you this evening on the thought, what time is it? What time is it? With that thought in mind, I want to tell you a story about the birth of our country. If you were in school, you no doubt learned this history. It took place April the 18th, 1775. The British had brought their troops to Old Boston, and the plan was at nighttime, while everybody was asleep, they would take small boats to go across the Charles River and to attack Concord and Lexington. Everyone was asleep. The British had their plans, and they knew that it would go over without fail. But there was one man who was not asleep. Y'all know who that man was? Paul Revere. That's right. He was not asleep. And you know the famous story that he got on his horse and he began to gallop through the town. The British is coming. The British are coming. Wake up. Wake up. The British are coming. And about that time he ran through the town, the men rubbed their eyes and out of their slumber and sleep, and they lit their candles and they grabbed their muskets. They were called minute men because they could be ready in just a minute's time. And those men went out to the streets to fight and to defend their honor and to defend country and children from the British who were coming in the night. But old Paul Revere sent out a call, wake up, wake up. Well, beloved, listen to me this evening. There is another war that we're fighting. It's an invisible war. We fight not against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us, but a spiritual battle. And somebody today needs to be a modern day Paul Revere and tell us to wake up. I'm thankful for such men that have a national platform, that have a national voice. Now, most likely my voice will never reach past Bologna, Arkansas. But there are some men that God puts up on a national platform, on a national level, that can speak about the glory of God. And I think about men such as Franklin Graham, who have recently really has become a national spokesman for the religious right and for Christians. All the way around, he takes a hard stand, a good stand against the liberals and all of those things. I'm thankful for Franklin Graham. Of course, he's the son of the great Billy Graham, and we need some men like that. I think about Robert Jeffress, who is the pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, and he is on several newscasts, and he's defending our Christian heritage and so forth. And so there are men who God gives them a bigger platform than what I'll ever have. And what we've got to do is pray for these men that God will give them the right words to say. But why do we need these type of men? Why do we need a modern day Paul Revere? Well, the enemy is upon us. The enemy is upon us, and we need to sound the alarm. And the sad thing is that the church, overall, the church is asleep, snuggled up in her pews with covers pulled over her head. And the church needs to wake up before it is too late. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in verse 11 of Romans chapter 13, this is why he spoke these words. He said, in that, knowing the time, knowing the kairos, that's the Greek word there, the opportunity of time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So this is a wake-up call that he gave to the Christians in Rome. And I tell you what, that we need to hear today, that we need to wake up. The late great preacher, Dr. Vance Havner, who was a North Carolina hillbilly preacher, but I tell you what, he was greatly used of God, great preacher of yesteryear, said three things describing America and describing the modern day church. He said this years ago, but it's still true today, even more so. He said, number one, there is anarchy in the world. There is apathy in the church, or apostasy rather, in the church. And there is apathy in the pew. And I tell you what, even though he said that 30, 40 years ago, how much more true is that today? And I thought about that there is anarchy in the world. And beloved, listen, today in America, we are in a moral freefall. We are in a moral freefall. And I'm amazed at some of the things that we are seeing today. And I don't have to preach a whole lot about that. You understand that. Gloria talked about that a little bit this morning in testimony time, where she mentioned about how many churches are in the Conway city limits. A lot. As my grandpa used to say, more than you can shake a stick at. I don't know what that means, but he said it, and and that's true. There's a lot of churches within the city limits of Conway, but yet they just passed an ordinance that we described to you and told you about this morning, that really gives extra protection to the gay and lesbian people there. And I tell you what does that mean? What does that mean? It tells us that there is a great disconnect. A big disconnect, a big gulf between the church and the elected officials. And that is time to erase that. The church is going to have to get more involved in, I'm not saying get involved in politics, but the church is going to have to get more involved in getting good, godly men, God-fearing men in offices, even as such things as we seem insignificant as city councilmen and mayors, because they make decisions that affect so many people. And so we understand that we are living in a world that is filled with anarchy. You know, today character doesn't matter. You know, a person can have horrible character, but yet they are absolutely going to be uplifted in today's world. So there's anarchy in the world. There is apostasy in the church. Pastors and members alike are departing from the faith and departing from the doctrines taught in the Word of God. Very few churches today are preaching the Word of God. That's one of the major problems in the city of Conway. How many churches are truly preaching the Word of God? I tell you what, beloved, it would shock you to find out how many are not preaching the Word of God and how few truly are. That's the biggest problem right there. The biggest problem is with today's preachers. There's apostasy in the church. Many churches today don't have revivals. Why would you need a revival today, they think? That's something of old. Most churches today only have one service a week. How are we going to impact the world when the world has them for hours on end, week after week, but yet the church that they attend, many just have one service a week? I believe that's contrary to Scripture when it says that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Then it says, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the Lord Jesus coming, the darker the days get. And the darker the days get, the more the people of light should be meeting together in the Lord's house. But we see there's apostasy in the church. There is apathy in the pew. Most people just don't care. Most people don't care. Listen, who today gets excited about the things of God? Most people just kind of roll over and yawn in the face of God and they go back to sleep. But I say all that to agree with the Apostle Paul. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Amen? It is high time to awake out of sleep. Notice verse 12 that he says there that the night is far spent. The night is far spent. What does he mean when he says that the night is far spent? Well, what he's saying really is that it's later than you think. It's later than you think. It's later in the age than you think. Friend, listen to me. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment. I believe this age of grace could be ended at any moment when the Lord Jesus Christ raptures His church out of this place. I believe Jesus could come soon. And the Bible tells us that we can know the seasons of the times. And I believe we're seeing these things come to pass even before our very eyes. It's later in the age, in this age than you think. It's later in this life than you think. Love, listen, there's only so many more days, only so many more hours yet to serve the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 14 says that life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It may be later in your life than you think. It may also be later in the day of opportunity than you think. We talked about that this morning. That this year we've got to take the opportunity and do what we can for the glory of God. Listen, we have today to preach and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things. Listen, that you'll do in heaven, but there's one thing you will not do in heaven, that is win souls for Christ. Any soul you're going to win for Jesus Christ is going to be done this side of heaven. This side of heaven. We need to win souls for Jesus. We need to seize upon the opportunities of today. So I want to mention to you three things very quickly that the Apostle Paul told the church in Rome that I feel that we need to look at tonight. Number one, I want you to notice that first of all, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. I tell you, that reminds me of a story I heard about the husband and wife sitting in a church, and the pastor noticed about halfway through his sermon that the husband and wife were sitting there, and he noticed that the husband was fast asleep. I mean, he was just out. And so the pastor walked down the aisle. He went to the lady and said, "Dear ma'am, could you please wake up your husband? He's asleep. It's embarrassing me." She said, "Oh, no, sir. Dear pastor, I will not. Could you do that since you're the one that put him to sleep?" Hey, listen, beloved. I believe one of the reasons that so many church members are asleep is because preachers are telling more bedtime stories and they are preaching under the unction and function of the Holy Spirit. We need that today. We need hard, stern, but yet loving preaching from the Word of God. And as I said earlier, so many churches are missing that. So many churches are like Samson asleep in the lap of Delilah. And when we do wake up, we don't realize that the Holy Spirit has departed and we wonder why we have no power. And beloved, listen, revival in many ways is God's people waking up, taking advantage of the opportunity that they have today. God's people ought not to sleep. We ought to be awake to the times. In the Old Testament, he talked about some people who were at ease in Zion. And I fear that this is one of the dangers of the modern church, the last church age in the book of the Revelation, the church of Laodicea. The characteristic of that day is what? Spiritual indifference. They were lukewarm. And Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold. But now that you're lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Believers are spiritually asleep, spiritually lethargic. Listen, beloved, some Christians today are a spiritual Rip Van Winkle. A lot of Christians come to God's house with a don't disturb sign. But understand that this same gospel and Bible, which is intended to comfort the afflicted, is also to afflict the comforted. Amen? We need to alert, need to be alert and to be awake to the times. We need to wake up and get on fire for God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 tells us, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And if we understand the times, we will be awake to the fact that time is short. Time is short. If we're ever going to do anything for Jesus Christ here at Beryl in this community, we need to do it now. Why? Because time is short. We need to redeem the time. Notice also, not only we need to wake up, we need to clean up as well. We need to clean up. Notice the verses 12 and 13. It says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and envy. Listen, Paul mentions six things that we as Christians, he's writing to the church, need to put off, need to cast off before we are ready to meet the day. These six things he puts in couplets. He puts them together. These are the works of darkness. Now, the first one he mentions is rioting and drunkenness. Now, we know what drunkenness means, but the word rioting means carousing. Carouse. It's what keeps the bars open and keeps the bars in business. The wild parties that go on all across our state and community. But Paul is saying this, if a man be in Christ, if he is a new creature, God says to put that off. You have no business in that kind of atmosphere. You have no business in that kind of place. So he says, put off the rioting, put off the carousing and the drunkenness. And then he mentions two other things. He mentions chambering and wantonness. Now, we don't use those words today, but those words are seen very much today. The word chambering means sexual immorality. And the word wantonness means without shame. Without shame. And today we have so many today living in sexual immorality. We have so many today that are living together without the benefit of marriage. And it has become so common today. It has become so common and so accepted today. Most of the TV shows that you watch for the past several years are people that are not married. And they are living together. And of course, I'm going to tell you what, beloved, it may be accepted by the world, but it is not accepted in the Word of God. It's sin. Jesus called it fornication. The Bible calls it fornication. And you know what's sad is that, you know, you would expect younger people to do that, but this is becoming more and more common in older people. The last church that I pastored, we had an older couple come. And they seemed like a very nice couple. And they were probably 70, 75 years old. And they lived in the community. I didn't know them that well. But I was talking to one of our members in the church and said, well, it's good to see so-and-so. And I said, yeah, it is. I said, I need to go to their house and visit with them. He said, yeah, Brother Wade, you do. He said, Brother Wade, they're living together. They're not married. I said, oh. So, yeah, I made my way over there to visit with them. And lovingly, I came to them and said, now look, I said, are you and so-and-so married? He hung his head down. He's 75 years old. No, we're not. I said, why aren't you married? And listen, here's the main reason the older couples don't get married today, because if they marry, they lose the spouse's Social Security or something like that. And so, but what I told him, I said, you're putting money ahead of God's biblical laws. Where's your faith at? And so, make a long story short, the people, and it broke my heart that they didn't come back because they wanted to find a place that they could be accepted in the church. I told them, I said, you're welcome to come. You're welcome to visit, but you cannot be allowed to join this fellowship here. But we're seeing more and more of this happening. That was not my first case there. Even at the second church I pastored, they had a very similar case of older people shacking up. And very sad. But we're living in a day and time where there is no sense of shame anymore. No sense of shame. We're living in a generation of unblushables. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 25. Or rather, Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 15. Notice what they say in Jeremiah's time and how it is so applicable to today's time. It says, Jeremiah 6:15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, or no. They were not at all ashamed, neither, now notice this, neither could they blush. Neither could they blush. That was a generation of unblushables. Listen, man, somebody said the man is the only creature that can blush and the only creature that needs to blush. Notice Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. And verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse number 9 says, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. And notice here, they hide it not. They hide it not. They're not ashamed. Beloved, is that not a testimony of today's society? Sin without shame. They sin without blushing. So he mentions rioting and drunkenness. He mentions chambering and wantonness. Those are sins of the flesh. But then he mentions sins of the spirit. He first of all talks about the social sins. That's rioting and drunkenness. He talks about the sexual sins of chambering and wantonness. Then he talks about spiritual sins, and that's strife and envy. Of course, the word strife here means to desire power. And envy, wanting more. Selfish desires. Are we not, is that not descriptive of today? People are not satisfied with anything today. We want more. But God says to the church, He says, put that off. Those are the works of darkness. My dear friend, let me tell you something this evening. It's time to wake up. It's time to clean up. Jesus is coming soon. It's later than you think. But then notice thirdly and lastly, it's time to dress up. It's time to dress up. Listen, this is the heart. This is the heart of the message, verses 14. Because listen, what good is it to wake up and what good is it to clean up if you don't dress up? Notice that in verse, going back to Romans chapter 11. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And then verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are, first of all, to put on the armor of light, verse 12 tells us. That is, we are to put pieces of equipment. Verse 14, we're to put on the person. Now, what does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, "For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That is, you have put Him on in salvation. If you have been saved, you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then He says in verse 12, we're to put on the armor of light. So He says not only we're to put Him on for salvation, but also for sanctification. That is, what is sanctification? That is being made more like Jesus. Every day we're to be set apart and sanctified, being more and more like Jesus Christ. He says you're to put these on. You're to cast off the works of darkness, put these on. Listen, we are to dress up in Jesus. And notice that Paul uses the full title of Jesus. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to put on the Lord. What does the word Lord mean? It means Master. That's what the Lord means. Put on the Jesus Christ as Lord, as Master. He's my Master. I'm His slave. Listen, what does a master tell his slave? Listen, he tells the slave, he tells him what to do. He tells the slave what to say. He tells the slave what, where to go. Listen, the question is tonight to the Christian, is Jesus Christ your Master? Is He your Lord? Hey, listen, beloved, listen. Tonight, let Him be Lord over your mind. What you think on. Be careful what you think on. Let Jesus be Lord over your mind. Let Jesus be Lord over your eyes. What you see and what you dwell on. Let Jesus be Lord over your ears. What you listen to. Let Jesus be Lord over your lips. What you say. Let Jesus be Lord over your hands and what you do. Let Jesus be Lord over your feet and where you go. Friend, let Jesus be Lord of all. Let Jesus be Lord of all. And I tell you, if you'll do that, it'll make a difference in your life. But then he says, put on Jesus. The word Jesus means Savior. Jehovah saves. Not only do we put on the Lord Jesus for direction, but we put on the Lord Jesus, our Savior, for deliverance. Listen, it is a vile, vile world. And we understand that. And as you go out, you'll have to be clothed and you'll have to have somebody who can deliver you. And listen, He can clothe you in His righteousness. But then He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the word Christ mean? It means Messiah, the Anointed One, the King. Listen, I have Jesus. You have Jesus for dominion. Why? Listen, He is the Lord of lords and He is the King of kings. He is the God of all power. Listen, you and I cannot live in this world of temptation apart from Him. The temptation is too great and the devil's too smart. But we can make it if we're clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am to wear Jesus as a suit of armor, a armor of light. The Bible tells us there in verse number 12, put on the armor of light. Somebody said, put Jesus over your sorrows and put Jesus over your tears. Put Jesus over your aches and pains. Put Jesus over your failures and your shame. But notice the last part. I'll be through. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He's saying those old clothes that you cast off, don't keep them. You get rid of them. Get rid of them. Make no provision for the flesh. What does it mean? I used to work with a gentleman who was absolutely a chain smoker. I mean, bless his heart, it was 4 or 5 packs of cigarettes a day. And he tried to quit so many times in my 13 years working at the gas company. And bless his heart, he never could quit. But I told him one day, I said, Blue, you're never going to quit if you keep those cigarettes in that glove compartment. They're never going to work. You're never going to work in quitting those things when you know where you're hid those things. And sure enough, when something would happen, he'd get nervous and he'd go right to those things and he'd light up a cigarette. But friend, listen, what was he doing? He was making provision for the flesh. He had the availability that his flesh might be tempted and even satisfied by those cigarettes. Same thing with the alcoholics. Some people trying to quit alcohol. Listen, why would you keep a fifth of whiskey in the cabinet? Just in case you go back to those and revert to those days. Listen, the best thing for that fifth of whiskey in that cabinet is to be flushed down the drain. Amen? It'll clear the worst clogs there is, I promise you. Pour it down the drain. But same thing about quitting smoking, as I said, chewing tobacco. People try to quit those things, but they'll keep it just in case that they go back to it. Making provision for the flesh. Now, I've heard this many times before, and it makes a whole lot of sense. Man that is apt to fall should never walk in slippery places. That's what the point is there. Man that's apt to fall, this every one of us should never walk in slippery places. But see, God is trying to tell us, and I believe that in these days that we've seen of absolutely right before our eyes a moral free fall, He's trying to wake the church up. He's trying to wake the church up. The night is far spent. What we do for Jesus, we better do it now. Life is short. Eternity is long. Souls are precious. The gospel's too wonderful for us just to sleep through it all. We need to awake to the times. Why? Because soon He's coming again. Amen? Listen, the old hymn says this, "When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." My dear friend, are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you awake to the time? Listen, if we're going to redeem the time in 2015, we're first of all going to have to awake. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians 5:14? He said, "Awake thou that sleep." We've been asleep too long. Let's take care of those opportunities and do all we can for the glory of God. And if you got some sin in your life, Paul says, cast it off. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Do away with it. Make no provision for the flesh, but put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that, Lord, You take this simple word, Lord, and apply it to our heart and life. Lord, help us to be alert to the times in which we're living in. Father, it's going to take some sold out, committed Christians, Lord, who are going to take a stand in today's society. And Lord, we cannot do it on our own. But Lord, we can do it through and only by You. So Father, I pray that each and every one of us, every day that we wake up, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on that armor of light. That we die to ourself. We die to our flesh. And let the Spirit of God rule and reign in our heart and life. That others might see the light of Your Son Jesus. Father, I pray that we would be burdened for our community, be burdened for our state and our country. That we'd pray for our leaders and pray for a great awakening because we so desperately need it. Father, we love You and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand quietly, every head bowed, every eye closed as glory begins to play. I don't know how the Lord used this message for your heart tonight, but I want you to be obedient to Him as we have this time of invitation. Are you awake to the times tonight?